And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean, this show gets broadcast way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, so we're going to go to number two in the Triple Dipper. And I got to be honest with you, this one just freaking makes me mad. So I was on the air in August of 21. I was on the air when the news broke that the Afghanistan pullout had begun. And I'll tell you right now, as a veteran of Afghanistan myself, as a family member of still active duty service members, I do not mind seeing that war come to an end. It was time, 20 years. I have no problem saying there is a time and a place when perhaps we need to pull back from combat operations or, by the way, maybe even leave altogether. I do believe, this is Phil Williams, this is this Colonel Phil talking for a second, but I do believe that strategically speaking, it was to our benefit to maintain Bagram Air Base. Having a forward presence where, if you look at the map, we are just north of Pakistan, just east of Iran, just south of the former Soviet republics of Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, all the others. And then, oh, by the way, just if you look at the map, just to the west of China. I mean, this is a great location. So we just blew it all off, and President Biden just said, let's just get out. And what that did, it created the vacuum. Now, keep in mind, this is President Joe Biden, who has never led a thing in his life, ever led a thing in his whole freaking life, ever. He couldn't lead anybody out of a wet paper sack. And he was in charge. This, by the way, is the vice president of the Obama-Biden administration that did an amazingly bad job of pulling troops out of Iraq and created a vacuum there that was filled by ISIS. And then we had to send troops back over to fight ISIS as ISIS began to seize territory all over Iraq and Syria. It just boggles the mind. Apparently, he didn't learn any lessons from his previous time in the executive branch, and so he just brought those kind of poor judgments over into his time now as being the guy who makes the final call. And so, yeah. And I will say, too, that in the last few days, so we now have a report out. The White House finally released its review of President Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan a year and a half later. Now we finally have a written report, and by the way, that report does not take accountability for anything. In fact, it basically calls what was done the right thing for the country. That's a quote. And repeatedly criticizes, you guessed it, the Trump administration for the way things went. I got news. Trump had not been in office for what? 6 or 7 months by the time this happened. And you know, I've had multiple times where I've looked at former Admiral John Kirby, who is a spokesperson for the National Security Council right now, and thought, you know, dude's a military guy. He's just stuck in a job right now, doing the best he can. No, I'm done with that. Man's a hack, an absolute hack. I cannot believe, I've thought in the past he was doing what he could with a bad situation, trying to represent his boss as best he could. No, he's lying. He got up yesterday and literally took issue with people questioning that report. He got mad. And he made the comments that he doesn't look back and see that there's any chaos. No chaos. You had people falling off of airplanes. You had 13 U.S. service members die at the gate of the airport. You shut down Bagram and abandoned it. And what happened? The Taliban seized it and let all the prisoners in the Bagram jail go and began to ransack the facilities. Unstinking believable. No chaos. He also had the audacity to say, and we didn't abandon millions of dollars worth of equipment. That's a farce. He says this. Just this past week, the Taliban were publishing pictures of the motor pools of vehicles that they seized when we abandoned them. So, yeah, John Kirby's a hack. But I'm looking at this story too, and you know the thing they blame Trump. This is some brass right here. Let me tell you, Here's their quote. The White House says this. You ready? Quote, during the transition from the Trump administration to the Biden administration, the outgoing administration provided no plans for how to conduct the final withdrawal or to evacuate Americans and Afghan allies. There were no such plans in place when President Biden came into office. Well, if that's the case, then why'd you do it? If you want to blame the other guy because he didn't leave you a plan, well, let me remind everyone that the very first day he was in office, President Biden made a big show of going to the Oval Office and signing executive orders countermanding everything he could find that Trump had done. Stacks of executive orders, most of which were just to reverse Trump. It's a new day. We're not going to build a wall. It's a new day. We're not going to have a Keystone pipeline. It's a new day. Just literally went bananas. How many pens did he run through trying to sign all the executive orders countermanding anything that had the name Trump attached to it? But now he's going to tell us, well, Trump, I felt constrained is the word they're using. We were constrained by what Trump had done. You weren't constrained by anything else. We have a no border, southern border now because you reversed Trump. We have no energy independence now because you reversed Trump. We have inflation because you reversed Trump. We have a devastated military that can't recruit right now because you reversed Trump. And I could go on and on. But the reality is this. If you're going to say that it's Trump's fault because he didn't have a good plan. That's what it is. Sure, yeah, he didn't have a good plan. You don't care about anything else Trump did. Why does that matter to you? But here's the other part of that. If you're going to say there was no good plan in place, then why'd you do it anyway? Because your responsibility was not to the previous administration. Your responsibility was to support and defend the Constitution and make sure your troops were safe and to conduct yourself in a way that benefits this nation. And what did they do? They just hosed it. Oh, we don't have a plan. So let's just rush out there and do this anyway. That makes no sense. None. We've got an audio clip of General Jack Keane. You know what I want to do? It's a little bit longer than usual, but I want to dissect it a bit. Boomer, you got that thing? So General Jack Keane was on Fox News, full credit to Fox, and General Jack Keane is really, he and General Kellogg are my two favorite military pundits. But he did a great interview yesterday, and man, he doesn't even play. So here's what I want to do, Boom. I want to start playing the interview, and I may just call for a stop so I can dissect something he says. We'll break it down in pieces. It's about 3 minutes long total. But 4 minutes long. Okay, but we're 4 minutes long. Sorry. You're making me count. Go ahead and start.
Yes. Did President Trump make a decision and talked about withdrawal? Yes, he did. Did he enter into negotiations with the Taliban and they cut a deal back in February 2020? I think that was a mistake. I think the Afghan government should have been involved in that and there should have been stronger conditions as a result of it. But President Trump wasn't there to make that final decision. That was President Biden's decision. He owns it because his entire military chain of command recommended against that and also painted a picture that this could go faster than what we think it could go, because once you release it, things get uncontrolled by those events.
And how it happened, not that it was going to happen, but how it happened,
yes,
was really the egregious part about it.
Yes. And just one other point, the director of the CIA also pointed this out. And Brett, what people forget is we had 7,000 NATO troops there, not counting the 2,500 plus that the U.S. had. Every NATO nation wanted to stay, but they would only stay if the United States was staying because we had air support and we provided logistics support. But President Biden, from people who were in the room, was the smartest man in the room on this. He knew better, and he made that decision. And believe me, I think he owns all the consequences as a result.
But that's not what this report says.
Stop there. So I love that. He owns the consequences. What a farcical report. Oh, well, everything we did was perfect. It looked so good. I mean, this was the right thing for the country. You can have the right thing and do it really badly. The right thing for the country is certainly to end a war. The right thing for the country is also, by the way, to do it well. You can do as much good in the way you leave as if you had stayed. And so what we're looking at right now, and General Keane just pointed it out, is that Biden was considered himself the smartest person in the room. And he was being advised. And if you caught that little piece in there, he said General Keane, who still has great contacts in the military community, retired four-star himself, but General Keane says, he's heard from people who were in the room that the president was advised not to do it this way. And he believed he was the smartest person in the room and did it anyway. Go ahead and keep playing, Boomer.
General, and let me read just from it. Successful evacuation from Afghanistan. The departing Trump administration had left the Biden administration with a date for withdrawal, but no plan for executing it. President Biden directed military assets to be pre-positioned in the region to be able to help with an evacuation on short notice. It was this decision that later enabled the United States to respond and deploy quickly enough to facilitate the successful evacuation of over 124,000 American citizens, permanent residents, Afghan partners, and allies. That sounds really good, but if you remember, in the days after all of this, there were Americans who were stuck for a long time. There are Afghan allies still to this day who can't get out of Afghanistan, and we're not helping them.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we shut down 7 military bases and 3 CIA bases. And before we shut down Bagram Air Force Base, I know for a fact, because I discussed it with him myself, Scotty Miller, who was our on-scene four-star commander, asked the administration weeks before Bagram was shut down, do you still want to close this? It took a while to get an answer, but they said, shut it down. So that was an operational decision that I think was misguided. That would have been a much better airfield to do. And President Biden, while he extended the withdrawal a few months, could have set conditions and could have extended the withdrawal much more significantly so that plans could be made to make an orderly exit as opposed to what took place. Remember this, Brett. The Taliban came into town, into Kabul, and offered the United States military the opportunity to be responsible for Kabul and we'll stay outside of it. Now, there's no way with the amount of troops we had that we could secure the entire city, but we could have said, well, we're going to exit from this airport and we're going to provide outer security, not just security at the wall. So we didn't have the kind of tactical security.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. And I think that's where we'll probably stop that audio. But what I'm looking at here is the general is saying that boots on the ground, they could see their conditions were untenable. They could see it. The commander at Bagram was saying, are you sure you want to close this? And the offer was made to let's at least do the withdrawal from Bagram. We control Bagram. It's a larger location. It's secure. We have 2,500 troops here. We can secure here and evacuate people. We can control the flow of who comes in. The Taliban then even said, all right, listen, you guys are leaving? Fine. We'll stay outside of Kabul. You control Kabul, but we didn't want to do that. Okay, then at the very least, we should have had outer perimeter security. But no, Bagram is shut down. The vast majority of our troops are just hauled out of there. And then a small contingency force is left. And I got news. I know people who were at that airport, and they said it was chaotic. It was a mass, it was basically a disaster waiting to happen, and then disaster happened. You had people storming the gates, rushing out onto the airfields, you know, grabbing hold of C-17s or C-5s, I don't recall which, and grabbing hold of them and then falling to their deaths because they were hanging on the outside of a plane. And these weren't like onesies and twosies. There were crowds gathered around that plane while it's rolling down the airstrip. And then, of course, the mobs at the gate. The mobs. How do you control that? Well, it wasn't very controlled. When we get back, I'll tell you about the testimony that we got most recently that said a sniper believed he identified the suicide bomber that killed 13 of our service members, and he was denied the opportunity to take him out. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper, Afghanistan blame game. So if you missed the first part of this segment, I'll just tell you briefly. So after a year and a half, the Biden administration has finally issued a report with its findings, regarding the Afghanistan pullout. Oh, and you can just go ahead and imagine by the sarcastic tone of my voice that the findings were that they did a really good job. And their spokesperson, John Kirby, said there was no chaos. And he also said, we didn't leave millions of dollars worth of equipment behind. I've got an article right here. Just last week. Week before, March 25th. You've got the Taliban sharing pictures of over 300 military vehicles that they have restored and put back into use that were left behind. And they also say they've got tons more. 41 types of military vehicles, which have all now been repaired and re-entered the service on behalf of the Taliban, the people that we fought for 20 years. It's estimated, the article says, the U.S. left $7 billion, with a B, billion dollars of military gear, including 78 aircraft, 12,000 Humvees, and thousands of air-to-ground weapons. Unbelievable. Just
that much.
Yeah, that boomer just asked me, that much? And I said, yeah, that much. It's huge. And yeah, John Kirby just goes, we didn't leave millions of dollars. Billions of dollars, Kirby. But then here's one of the most maddening things in a recent hearing. This is just last month. Military members and veterans of the Afghanistan war offered harrowing eyewitness testimony of the chaotic and deadly withdrawal from the country's longest conflict during an hours-long congressional hearing. All right, so one particular, a retired Marine, Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews, says the withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion. There was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence. This particular man, by the way, was injured in the bombing. He's gone through 44 surgeries for the injuries that he received. But he also, by the way, was on overwatch. He was on that wall. And speaking under oath, he said in his personal capacity, he told the House panel that he and others serving alongside him in Kabul had identified two men who matched the description of the people believed to be plotting an attack on the crowd of Afghans. But Vargas Andrews said he and his soldiers were not given approval by their commander to shoot the suspects. And you know what happened next. 13 service members and a whole lot of civilians died in a suicide bombing. He believed he had located the target and was denied the opportunity to take them out. But so, I mean, you look at this and go, there is not just, it's not just denial. This is more than just mere obfuscation, all right? This is not just trying to deflect. This is a lie being perpetrated on the people. And what bothers me is not that people like Boomer and I and all you right side ruffians can't see through it, because we can. What bothers me is the number of people who don't dig into the news, and they're just going to hear that went pretty good. And they're going to go, oh, I heard on TikTok that it went pretty good. And that's going to be the story in their heads. No one has been accountable for that. By the way, one of the things the Biden administration said, there were no such plans in place when President Biden came into office. I got news. General Mark Milley was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he still is. In other words, any plans that would be in place were already, the leadership was still there. We didn't pull anybody out of Afghanistan who was over there leading. General Scotty Miller was still there. You got the people on the ground, still the same. You got the people in the Pentagon, still the same. The only one you changed was in the White House and the Secretary of Defense. Nobody else needed to be there for it to be okay. You had the plans, and for that matter, if you didn't like them, you didn't have to do them. If you don't like the plans, you do it anyway. It's called gross negligence. If you believe it's going to fail and you don't have a means of getting something accomplished, but you do it anyway and people die, it's recklessness. Well, listen, coming up next, you're going to want to stay tuned, because I've got a guy coming on the show, Dr. Ron Lee. He's with an organization called Operation North Star. They've been working the last year and a half to get people out, raising money to get rescue flights. They're still going. He's going to be on to update us on the latest and what the situation is on the ground over there. Stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.